Welcome to the Friendly Jimmy's podcast with one missing person.
The key is in the word missing. if you just look at the first paragraph of that, it becomes fairly evident, especially because this podcast has now been going for a solid 30 seconds without anyone mentioning burritos, hot sauce, or immigration. But we are going to pull our weight.
Yeah, that's all coming.
A huge amount of this is going to be about immigration. In honor of a man whose house might have burnt down. He sent us a message saying, help, help, on Facebook, showing us a picture of his house, dangerously close to a bushfire,
yeah.
To which Ali responded, well, hope it all works out.
What am I supposed to do? I'm not a fucking firefighter. Am I supposed to go to Lithgow and start, where's my water gun? And start fucking putting the fire out. And
yeah, but I think, you know, the old phrase of thoughts and prayers, I think you just sent a thought.
Yeah, but in my head, this is how I justified it. So the fire was near that gun range, which is on a bit of a hill, and the houses are in a bit of a valley,
yep.
And hot air always rises up, never goes down.
All right. I think there's probably hundreds of thousands of Australians that would disagree with that. But.
Yeah, and then plus, like, if Mislav burns a little bit, he'll go black, and I think it'll be good for him. He'll realize how...
That there is a stigma.
There is a stigma. There's racism. He'll face it all.
Well, and all right. Okay, well, that, look. That might be your opinion, Ali, but I'm not on that train. I really hope that Miss Love's house doesn't burn down.
No, what about...
Just so he learns a lesson about etiquette.
Yeah, but what about that insurance money, baby?
I highly doubt they have insurance.
Yeah, Miss Love, oh, fuck. Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Dude, I don't think his
they
car
didn't have
is
gas
insured.
In their house for 2 months. It was permanent camping. They were essentially squatting in their own house. It's probably not happening. So he does have a legitimate reason not to be here. So in honor of that, we are going to talk about his favorite subject on earth. I really don't know why. Immigration, specifically in America. Not sure that how that affects
him. Why? When were we supposed to talk about that? We were supposed to talk about the wall. We've got, just like Bill O'Reilly, we've got a lot on our agenda this time.
Yeah.
And immigration wasn't one of them.
Wasn't it?
I thought we were waiting on you to finish that book. What was that book? What's the name of this book that you're reading?
Yeah, I'm currently reading this book called The Diversity Delusion. Note that the word diversity is in all the colors of the rainbow and delusion is in gray. On the cover of it.
I wonder what that book is about. A man who's... dating a Vietnamese girl and is best friends with a Muslim Pakistani man, hates immigration and is reading Diversity Delusion. If this isn't 21st century, I don't know what.
I don't hate immigration. I have that really neoliberal view on immigration that is just like, are you a neurosurgeon? No, I'm a surgeon for the foot. No, we've got enough of those. Bye-bye.
Was you kind of want like... Do you think we need something like the carbon tax for immigration, too?
What's that?
I don't know. Like, if you kind of suck, then, like, you got to pay money. But that's what immigration is.
That's a pretty good tax.
That's what immigration already is.
But I suppose that is the Liberal Party's tax policy in a nutshell, is taxing the poor much harder than they tax the rich.
Could they suck? What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm starting to see their point.
Yeah.
But, no, I really think that when it comes to immigration, any of those books that I ever read about that are written by Tory conservatives of a man that looks like a very disheveled, ugly Elijah Wood, always on point when it comes to immigration.
No, but, like, okay, okay, tell me, you've read, like, a fair few of these books now, starting with Debt to Europe, Debt to the West. No,
yep.
Debt to the West.
Oh, no, yeah, book. What a classic.
What a classic. That was my book.
No, such but like, ramblings.
They all go on about, particularly in Europe, they all go on about how immigration is corrosive, how it's going to change Europe fundamentally, and it's going to lead to much bigger problems than anyone can anticipate. Even if I agree with that, they all come to like the same conclusion, which is, why don't we just do the Australian model?
Yeah.
And we already have that model, so what are we fucking complaining about? And they never go like...
No one is. Everyone's... Look, Miss Love is complaining about the American model.
He's complaining about anyone that is not part of the Christian militia.
It's become a very, very specific group of people that Miss Love likes. But he's been keeping the theme consistent since the beginning of getting on this podcast, I think. His core fundamental belief has not changed in this three-year-long conversation and dialogue that we've had with him. He still wants to live in the woods and hunt gators. And I think the only other people on earth that want to do that is the Christian militia. So it does make a lot of sense how he feels a kindred spirit with these people.
Yeah. That is fair. And I sometimes I also think about, like, I was talking to this guy yesterday and it made me want to join the Christian militia a little bit. He's this guy who's a goddamn immigrant. So he's here on like a student visa and he's actually like he's Indian and he's a fob, but he really likes YouTubers. So he started like Australian YouTubers, which
Australian
is not a, yeah,
YouTubers.
Australian YouTubers. So it's not a most of Indian fob immigrants are still watching
Bakchudan T series.
Yeah, yeah, Bakchudan T series is just like
are you a subscriber to this? Are you trying to take PewDiePie off his perch?
I am actually a subscriber of not T-Series.
Do you know about T-Series?
Yeah, because I know about T-Series because they just own all of Bollywood music. It's not like a person, Mr. T and his series. It's like MTV.
I still can't get over the fact that they're about to perch PewDiePie over as number one. It's so unwarranted. Especially when you see that the vast majority of their videos have about 20,000 views despite having 78 million subscribers.
Well,
so it is an outrage. And I am outraged more about that than I am about unfettered immigration.
Yeah, no, I don't subscribe to T-Series, but I do subscribe to AIB.
Do you actually do you watch their
shitty sketches? No, but they got disbanded. AIB is dead. Do you know why?
Why?
Me Too reached India. Those cunts were fucking raping women. Apparently, not raping women. No, not raping women. That was only like, actually, there is one dude because like Me Too movement went to India too, and two of the main guys from AIB were just like overly aggressive in their courtship. Is one way.
Was it the guy that's fat with the huge bags under his eyes?
Yes, that guy. And
did Me Too really need to get to India before somebody put that guy in jail?
Oh man, I saw that guy actually on Elizabeth Street
in Australia.
Yeah, in Australia, while I was walking back from work, that fat dude with the bags.
And what's that slug man doing here?
Well, I don't know what he was doing here. He was probably here for like shows or something.
Just for anybody who doesn't know, AIB stands for All Indian Bakchud. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And Bakchud, I think, means motherfucker in India. So you can tell that they were, like when I picked the name Friendly Geordies, at the height of their maturity. And it seems like from them just touching up all the Indian chicks that they could possibly find, that they've gone from strength to strength when it comes to maturity. But basically, they are a homegrown BuzzFeed that makes sketches that I watch one and I go, I think I'm going to have to watch a BuzzFeed comedy sketch to cleanse myself after that. That was 30 times worse.
You're overly aggressive.
Do you think so? Am I being too harsh on AIB?
Look, first of all, you need to think of... You must understand one thing.
What?
Like, so Hollywood...
Yeah.
If it's... if you give it, like, what, a 9 out of 10, then Bollywood...
Which I really don't.
No, which you
going.
Wouldn't... If you do... Bollywood will always be at 6. There is a gap. So when you... And it's the same thing with YouTube. So if you are going to compare AIB with, like, I don't know, which, like PewDiePie, what's the best fucking YouTuber? Who's your favorite YouTuber?
I was discussing this at length with my nieces, which made me realize that Arrested Development is a real thing. And I'm just going to have to accept that I am the real-life Peter Pan, except for unlike him, I age. So it's the worst of both worlds, having being a man-child.
Wait, how does that... So Peter Pan is a YouTuber now? What?
Dude,
do you have a
if Peter Pan existed in this day and age, he wouldn't be a YouTuber, but he'd be watching so many videos about slime. But instead of having magical adventures. But yes, I do have a favorite YouTuber.
Wait,
and was discussed in length with that niece.
Let me guess. Isaac Butterfield.
The Batman. I don't mind him, man. He's like, he's telling it how it is.
Yeah.
The thing that the I would say my favorite, though, because this is the thing. Even though, obviously, I have to move into that territory, and that's going to be phase three of Friendly Geordies, looking at shit that's trending and commenting about why it's shit, just like everybody else does. But yeah, for some reason, that amounts in more views. Because everyone just wants to go, yeah, YouTube Rewind did suck this year, and PewDiePie wasn't in it. But...
Wait, what? Okay.
Everyone
audience,
knows who my favorite YouTuber
the audience,
is, by the way. It's Ricegum.
Oh, Ricegum.
He is. He's my favorite. God, and I talked about this in length with my nieces, and was able to convince them on this one point, because the only people that I can relate to these days, which is that they're going, I like iDubbbz and H3H3. No. All iDubbbz and H3H3 do is comment on YouTubers that everyone their age knows a shit. We get it. We get that the fact that Ricegum is famous for finding a bunch of 9-year-olds posting their first YouTube video ever and obviously it's going to be terrible and him pointing out why it's terrible is immature. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, and he gets...
That's why everyone's watching it, you know. And the fact that he's... What, you think that you're a genius, H3H3, sitting there going like, oh my God, that's a 9-year-old, dude. Like, they're not even out of primary school. That's pretty sadistic, man. No, don't rain on my parade.
God, you are... You know what's shit about this? Like, I actually... People assume that I would know more about YouTubers, and I fucking don't. I recently had a friend.
All he knows AIB.
Yeah, and, all I know is AIB.
Cambridge University's YouTube page.
Hey, no. George Washington University's YouTube. I have subscribed to them. Me and this other dude. And but I actually got introduced to, what's his name? iDubbbz recently by a friend. And she's a real fan. And also
of iDubbbz.
Of iDubbbz. And also this pod. She listens to it every now and then. And she was like, I like iDubbbz because of his impeccable amount of research.
Impeccable amount of research.
Well, she didn't say impeccable. She said just research. She's a fan. And
no, that's true. I'll give him that.
And she sent me that. She sent me one video where, who's that other YouTuber who he destroyed?
Other YouTuber we destroyed?
No, yeah, iDubbbz. iDubbbz, like, basically killed another person. Like, not killed, like, as in... Ricegum, I think. I think there's a battle between the two. Somewhere. Anyway.
There's a lot. It's probably a series called Content Cop, which I think everybody listening to this podcast knows about, except for you.
Yeah, exactly, right? And everyone... And, like, I have a fucking podcast, and people just assume, oh, you know everything. I was like... No,
he just knows about one subject. Ah, two. He knows about how to make a slightly different curry to the ones that you've tasted in your life.
Well, it's a real art. Anyone can make something different.
No one's denying it.
Making slightly different is where it's at.
Andy Warhol of curries.
Oh, no, okay. So I'm going to, on that note... I will... So, Jordan, you don't know about this. You know, like, hints a little bit about this, but I am so proud of this podcast.
Oh, as am I, but...
No!
Elaborate.
I haven't been prouder of this shit ever.
Okay.
So, what happens is, I come home from work, and my mom says, I need to talk to you about something. So, I'm like, oh, fuck, what is it? I'm like, now my head's just thinking, oh, fuck... Did I fucking leave bacon in the fridge and I'm going to get kicked out? Or did she find like condoms in my room or something? So I'm just thinking
did
of the
you
worst.
Get another statue of an Indian god in your room?
Yeah, I confronted her about that the other day too. I was like, hey, mom, next time if a friend gives me a gift, don't just like take it away and give it to a friend of yours.
It seems like it would be common courtesy. to no, not but this is throw about, out other people's possessions. But go on.
So Jordan went to Bali, like every educated Australian does.
Yeah,
and came back with
culture,
with a little idol, a statue of the Hindu god Ganesh, the Elephant Man, and gave it to me as a gift. I thought it was bizarre, so but I was like, well, if someone's giving it to me as a gift, so I kept it in my room. And my mom saw it and was freaked out. I was like, what's this doing here? I was like, oh, mom, like, just a friend of mine. He gave it to me as a gift. He's like, oh, but does he know that that we don't believe in any of this? I was like, yeah, he's quite aware of this. So she's like, I'm not too comfortable with an idol in my house. I'm like, well, it's in my room, so. And then
it is pretty harsh. I gave. As a gift, the breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. It's up there with murder.
So she pretty
she's
much...
She's pretty polite about
she
it.
She sneaked that into my... No, I don't know if it's polite. It was such a mum thing. So I go to work, and the next day I'm back, and fucking Ganesh is gone. So, like, where the fuck is my Ganesh, mum? And so she took it when I wasn't there, and then gave it to her Hindu friend, who was very, very grateful because she literally gave him a god. So she was saying that he stretched out both his arms and made like a little prayer motion, and he took it and then he put it on his forehead and he was like, I will be forever indebted to you. Anyways, well, I don't know why I was. So I come back home and mom's like, okay, I need to have a talk with you. I need to like talk to you about something. So I was like, okay, what is it? So she says, okay, have you thought about getting married? I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Particularly because I have an older brother who's not married. So I'm always thinking, well, it's his turn and then maybe I'll have to deal with this parent bullshit. So I'm like, no, what the fuck is going on? She's like, well, I've got an arranged marriage proposal for you.
Proposal?
Yeah. So I was like, what? What do you mean arranged marriage proposal? So this is what happens. One of her friends goes to... some other friend of hers, and they have a daughter who's about my age and is a lawyer. So she was asking my mom's friend, do you know anyone for my daughter to get married off? She says, actually, I know someone who's studying law and works at like Dan Murphy's and also does this radio thing. So they're like, who is this guy? So they're like, well, I've met him. He seems all right. But so they're like, okay, give us the link to the podcast.
No.
So she asked my mom to send her the link. And they send the Friendly Jimmy's podcast link to them.
Oh, man.
Now, this...
Yes, I can't believe it. It keeps giving, dude.
This mother and daughter...
It's pretty magnet.
Who I don't know if our fans and are listening to this, in which case I'm fucking screwed. So this mom and daughter apparently listen to the podcast. An entire one. Yeah. And decide that they want to marry me. And I'm just listening to this with my eyes. I'm shocked. I'm shocked because this podcast is able to get me a proposal for marriage. And my mom is thinking that I'm so shocked and I'm really keen on getting married now. So I'm trying to get more details off of her. Anyways.
So you haven't seen what she looks like or...
No, I did, because the problem was, so I told her that, okay, here's the thing, I'm not getting married and I am not doing this shit. So you need to tell them no. But my mom was like, you should at least see the picture and maybe hang out with her once. And I was like, I don't want to do that. And I didn't ask for the picture because she would have to ask for the picture, which would have given them... I'm guessing that they would have thought that, oh, maybe he's interested and
get so them what? Rolling. We need to rank her out of 10.
I know. I was,
that's dude, more important dude, than I giving was, up her hopes.
I was curious. I don't think she's like a hopeful or some shit, but whatever. I don't know. But
I got to know which episode it was as well.
I don't know.
Is it the episode where we flashed each other talked about how large our cock was? That's half of them. It was a 50-50 shot.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is fucked up. Because if anything, I would have thought the last listener to the podcast would be like, the daughter will get you someone better.
Surely!
This man is vile.
Every episode is us talking about which celebrities we'd have sex with. Our schlongs. If we think that a vagina, that the feeling of a vagina is overrated or not. How is this marriage material? Really? Unless you're trying to marry the same people as Howard Stern. Just absolute sex addicts.
Yeah.
That's it. But I highly doubt someone who's in the arranged marriage world is a sex addict.
No, you don't want a sex addict. But at the same time, I was thinking about this and... Like, I was trying to, like, rationalize why I didn't want to go for this arranged marriage thing. Because the thing is...
What's there to rationalize about that?
No.
You don't know what she looks like.
No, but, like, I'm not... I would find out. And
yeah.
It's not like I'm going to meet her at the altar, you know. I would...
Does that happen?
It used to happen, and I bet it still happens in, like, fucking India and Pakistan and shit.
God, what a lotto. And now it happens in Australia with Marriage at First Sight.
That is, yeah, I guess so. But I was, because I would always defend arranged marriage amongst my white friends, saying, like, it's not that bad of a thing. But when it came on to me, I was like, oh, fuck that shit.
I don't think it actually is that bad of a thing either. And it kind of gives you license to get side pussy as well, so.
What do you mean? No, it doesn't give you license to get side pussy.
Why not?
It's still a marriage.
Yeah, but isn't the understanding that, look, this is all for land?
No, what the fuck? That's not how it is. That's not an arranged marriage. That's a green card marriage.
I love how there's so many specifics in marriage.
Wait, so why...
There's just one marriage here. Oh, no, I suppose there's the 70-year-old man marrying a 20-year-old Thai chick, and I think we all know what type of marriage that is. Pure love.
But okay, so tell me why. So I statistically, arranged marriages end up lasting more than like the fucking sinful marriages that we're into these days.
Makes sense.
They say that they're happier. And I always thought that they last more and they're happier because there's no expectations when you get into it. As in, if you end up marrying someone who you don't really know and they do something nice and you go like, oh, how wonderful. He's a nice man. I thought might be a serial killer, you know. It's basically the first date for marriage. Like, first date, you sort of think that they're not going to be that great, but then you find out that there's some good shit about them. And
so no, I've seen arranged marriage is Married at First Sight, the show, except instead of psychologists sitting there and going, they're probably going to get in, they'll probably like each other because that chick has pink nails and that guy says that he likes the color pink. Instead of that, it's your parents that both know each other. And so they're going to look at it a little more objectively than you are, as some dirty teenager going, but we're in love. And so they're just going to go, no, well, she comes from a fairly good family and they have a family history of having successful marriages together. So whoever they're bonded with, they're going to have a successful marriage because that's basically how relationship psychology works. Whereas usually what happens is when you're in love with someone, you're not actually in love with them. What's happened is your inner child has enmeshed with their inner child. So basically, it just reminds you of your mum.
But what? But you're literally talking like my mum, because my mum was giving me this. Because this was the lecture. This was my mum sitting down and saying, look, this family, they're supposed to be really nice people, and you should definitely consider this, and you should give it a go. And I was trying to, like, I wasn't able to come up with, like, really good arguments as to why I didn't want to pursue this at all. Except for the fact in my head I was just thinking, but how could you marry someone without even having sex with them? What if they shit in bed? And, like, I couldn't say that to
bring
my
it
mom.
Up. Ah. Wuss.
No, because that would
have been... I'm sure that... Look, I'm sure that a woman who got rid of a statue of Ganesh as being, quote, a false idol is going to be down with sex chat with their son.
Anyways, I wish I could see your picture as well, man. But like, I
really need to see it.
I do.
Can
too.
You just get married for the pod? Do it so that we can A, rate that chick. B, it's classic podcast fodder. One of the guys getting married.
Yeah.
And you know that Miss Love and I have too much of a Peter Pan complex to do it. And you were basically born a 40-year-old dad. You're supposed to be married.
Yeah. And they even saw my pictures because then then my mum gave them Holdsworthy Live as well.
Well, why didn't bloody...
What?
So you got pictures. They got pictures and you didn't.
Yeah.
All I'm imagining is that she has a huge head. I don't know why.
I don't know either.
What do you think when you think about it?
I'm thinking she's hot. I don't know. But I just like to believe that.
Because whose wife was.
I don't know. And I asked my mom where did they live, and she was like, I don't know. They live in like Penrith or Liverpool or something. I was like, Mom, those are like two very far. That's not a place. So she's like, I don't know. Do you want me to talk to them about it? Do you want to meet them? I was like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I just want as much information without them knowing that I'm taking this information from you.
What'd she say to that?
She was like, I don't know. Like, I'd have to ask my friend. So there's a middle person.
Do it. What? We need to know a little bit more about this.
But
this doesn't happen to most people, Ali. Actually, statistically, it does happen to most people.
Yeah, you clearly got a B in math, didn't you?
I know.
Okay, look.
A B in math, but an A in watching a current affair.
I'll see what I can do. But the thing is, they'll have to ask her for the picture.
Right. I'm still failing to see what the problem is here, are they?
The problem is, then they'll be like, okay, so what does he say? And then if I say no,
nah,
that's kind of shit for someone who is saying yes to me. You know?
That's true. I think that you can cover your bases, though, by writing the classic relationship advice that has been passed down to us from Homer Simpson, which is to look at a picture, and if she's ugly, write back, dear baby, welcome to Dumpville. Population, you.
Yeah, that would do wonderfully for the self-confidence. And also, like, dude, I think I realized this. I don't think I can marry a Muslim.
I thought you realized that a long time ago.
Yeah, I realized it some time ago. So this is going to end badly for everyone. The only way I can marry a Muslim is if the Muslim says, I'm not a Muslim anymore.
Right.
So
Muslim in the same way that Catholics that go to church at Easter are.
Yeah, yeah. As in someone who... Because I've seen like a horrible experience with my cousin. I have this cousin who's like now 45. And he was like growing up, I thought he was like the coolest dude ever. He lived in Australia. He was like... I don't think he was born here, but he came here like when he was 2 years old. And so like that's why I wanted to come to Australia. He went to UNSW, which is why I wanted to go to UNSW. He caved into his mum, and because his mum wanted him to have an arranged marriage, and he was like, and he was fucking killing it professionally here, and he agreed to it for his mum's happiness. He came back to Pakistan. I was like about maybe 12 or 13 at this point. He marries a girl who he tells, here's the thing, I drink, I even eat swine. If that's something that's like, no, if you're not cool with that, then this doesn't need to happen. She and their family said, no, it's cool. Their internal thoughts were, once you get married, you can change him. She comes to Australia. Their initial few years of marriage were awesome. I used to look at that. I was like, actually, that's the way marriage. She was cool. He used to drink. We used to like, when I came to Australia for like vacations and shit, he took us out to party. It was awesome. And she was really cool about it too. Until they had their first child. And that's when she went crazy. She started saying, no one drinks in this house. I don't want to raise my kid in an environment where people are drinking. Pork was obviously just no
off the
fucking
menu.
Way. In fact, my cousin, who's like a fucking... Who, like, Dawkins would tell him, just calm down about hating religious people. You know, he's that sort of a dude. His own daughter fucking reads, like, the Quran and shit. And there's a woman who wears, like, the full fucking head veil who comes to their house to teach his daughter, and he is just like, I don't know what to do. Like, what the fuck?
He's trapped.
Not only that, they now live in Canada because his wife, after the first kid was born, said that your entire family over here are not good influences on my daughter. There's no religious affiliation to anything over here. I'm moving to Canada where my mom and brother are. And so he inadvertently had to move in order to be with his kid. His life's fucked. I looked at that and I was like, well, there's no fucking way I'm getting married to a Muslim then. Unless the Muslim is like cool about it. But I don't even know if because
they're just making it up.
Yeah, who knows?
It really seems like the only reason you don't want to marry them is the off chance that they stop you from drinking and having pork.
The weird thing is, I don't even like to drink that much. So like, it's not the drinking bit.
Isn't it?
It's maybe bacon. Yeah, okay, fine.
Maybe, okay.
Bacon's all right. It would be sad if I'd have
sad
to
about it.
Get rid of that. But it's the principle. I lead my life in a way that I don't think that... God just doesn't play any role in my life. And if I have to, like, fucking go to mosques and shit because...
No, look, we all know what happened. As soon as you got onto Tinder and you started wearing white Lacoste shoes and... Hawaiian shirts that rich Americans would wear, pretty much if you like, the rich Americans would wear if they're golfing in Maui. That's pretty much your thing now. So, who you should be marrying is a Cuban stripper. I think that'd work really well for
maybe,
you, Ali.
Maybe South American. No, but
I really want to hear that as well. Every time we come over, is just from like five rooms away, just hearing this like, and you yelling back, being like, and then hearing something smashing against the wall, and being like, "Hey." Anyway, let's do this bird. Would you prefer that life, or one where you can't eat pork and drink?
Yeah, oh God, such a difficult choice.
It's a hard one. I know which one I'd prefer.
Okay, which one?
Much prefer to date the Islamic chick.
You would actually work well. Because the thing is, for you it'll be, there's a bit of a cultural difference. I get to learn new things. And there wouldn't be an expectation on you to do any of this because you weren't born into it. Whereas like me... like all Muslims think that I'm a Muslim in hiding, as in like I could say I'm an atheist, but they're like, but come on, really? Like,
yeah, is that the impression? I didn't know that.
It would be, if I married a Muslim girl, she wouldn't treat me like she would treat you because you weren't born into it, so she wouldn't be like, you need to pray. Whereas with me, she's like, you'd need to pay. I was like, I'm an atheist. Like, fuck off, bitch. I can look at your face. You're not. It's just, you need to go and... I don't know. My cousin's just... maybe I'm like, I have no clue what I'm talking about. But like, I just look at my cousin's example and I kind of want to steer clear of that.
I think you know what you're talking about much more than other people do. I think it's just a clear message in general, which is just leave anyone with a burqa without a ring. That should be it. And if somebody in a burqa comes up to you and says, and you say, I'm going to eat pork and I'm going to drink during our marriage, and they say, that's okay, it's a ruse.
It clearly is. But then, like, there's other girls that are, like, from Muslim families that seem to be really cool with drinking and shit, so...
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who do you know?
So, one of my brother's friends actually married a girl back from Pakistan. And she's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, but she's not from real Pakistan, is she?
No, but I wouldn't want to marry someone from real Pakistan. That sounds elitist as fuck, but it's true.
Fair enough.
Because, like, man, like, I don't know.
But it's the same as asking a woman where they go, I'd marry anyone for love. And you go, even a homeless person? No.
No. Well, maybe...
And that's pretty much all of Pakistan. It's pretty much just... you living in your Elysium bubble and then just 200 million bums.
Yeah, that was the reality that I lived in. But I related to my Elysium bums. Look, man, I don't want to talk about this. This makes me sad.
It makes you sad.
I'm a commie bubbleist. No, but the
communist elitist Ali refuses to marry bum.
I'm sure she did. God,
I wish that was a headline.
All right, okay, let's move on to the next segment. Is Ann Coulter tappable, yes or no? Okay, so the answer to that segment is going to be sweet and short, then we can move on to substance. Ann Coulter is tappable, of course.
Easily.
Who is there someone who wouldn't want to tap Ann Coulter?
It wouldn't be my first preference. What the fuck? I'd be more interested in that. Is it anyone's first preference?
First preference? What kind of a person?
Bill Maher.
You reckon Bill Maher?
You can tell Bill Maher. They've got that Kyle and Jackie O thing going on.
Fucking Angelina Jolie, I don't give a shit. Ann Coulter is my first preference.
Yep.
If he could have sex with any woman in the world, he would choose Ann Coulter as the first person.
I can guarantee you. I'm not being remotely facetious in saying this either. You can see the sexual chemistry when they're on their show together.
Do you think they've had sex?
No. And that's why I think the sexual chemistry is there. If they had sex, it would be a little more relaxed. So maybe they should, for the sake of their careers, just get it over with. But it also helps as well. It's the same thing as when with Kyle and Jackie O. The fact that they haven't had sex is what's so successful about their dynamic.
Do you know who I think Bill Maher definitely has had sex with? That Huffington Post chick.
Ariana Huffington.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Just the
wrong Ariana.
Why are you being ageist for no reason?
Because she's so dog.
Yeah,
that's
but
why.
So is Bill Maher.
He does look like an old shoe, doesn't he?
Yeah, well.
No, bro.
So that was an easy segment. Let's move on to some substance.
Ah.
Which is kind of related to Ann Coulter, actually. The Trump wall.
Oh, right, of course.
And I want to talk about maybe three aspects of Trump within this one segment. Which
well,
is
talk away, Ali.
Talk away. Trump wall. Well, you know what? Okay, so it all started with like, so you know how Jim Mattis, Secretary of Defense, just resigned?
Only because of Bill O'Reilly, but yes.
And he
my only news source.
And he resigned because apparently Trump wanted to pull out of Syria. And
he wanted to stay in.
And he wanted to stay in. But
you agree with Trump, right?
You have to, right? No, not completely. But what I was...
So you agree with someone whose nickname is Mad Dog?
Well, that's... Okay, well, but the thing is, just as soon as the first headline that I read on New York Times just right after he resigned was, "Has the lost adult left the room?"
Shut up, New York Times.
All
Trump's
the media
still there.
Outlets, every single media outlet was painting this as a travesty. As like, well, we're fucked now.
What's their reasoning for that?
Because apparently Jim Mad Dog Mattis was a name that he was given not because he was fucking crazy, but because he was like kind of smart about something. So I think this was like in Iraq or something, where, or Afghanistan, where they had set mines on because you know when you're moving from one area to the other in a country like Afghanistan, there's barely any roads, and if there is going to be a road, there'll be only one. So you don't have like multiple avenues to go somewhere. So the insurgent or like the Taliban has set up mines all throughout the track through which the American tanks would come through, right? So they would blow all the time. And then they would set up in like different locations. So you never really knew where it was. Mad Dog Mattis came up with a strategy of like moving the tanks in a figure of eight.
Why?
Rather than going in a straight, because he assumed that the mines would be set up straight because the Taliban would assume that a tank would drive straight. So he just sort of curled around and he avoided mines.
I don't know how that works.
Well, look, so let's say there's a straight road. Let's say you're going from Newtown to the city and there's only King Street.
Mm.
and someone doesn't want you to come to the city.
Mm.
So they set up mines all on King Street.
Mm.
So now what you do is you don't drive your tanks on King Street, but you sort of like go figure of it.
Just bulldoze the buildings.
Yeah, just bulldoze the buildings because there's no buildings. It's just sand over there. So you just basically you go on. Basically, you off-road is the idea that he came up with.
That's a genius strategy.
No, anyway, so he got named. So his Mad Dog Mattis wasn't because he was crazy. He also wrote the new Mad. So he's kind of like an intellectual.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anyways, so he gets fired.
Right.
No, he doesn't get fired. He resigns. And he writes like this open resignation letter damning Trump's foreign policy. Which is fine. That's what he believes in. But my problem was like because everyone hates Trump so much, or the media, mainstream media hates Trump so much, that they painted this Mattis as like this angel that was within the administration and now has left, and now all that the U.S. government is left with is darkness. Whereas like this guy was also a bit of a cunt. Like, don't forget that like he is a fucking military general.
Which they evidently have.
There's a lot of things that he did wrong, but like one of the biggest ones that no one talks about is because everyone's focused on Trump is that he reduced the transparency of reporting on airstrikes so much. Like, at least they had to report airstrikes at some point. Like, there was an airstrike. They don't say civilians were killed, but they say whatever, 20 combatants were killed, right? Mm. Now there isn't even a requirement for you to bring those out. So very few airstrikes are come out to the public. He delegated most of the responsibility to people on ground, and these orders aren't coming from higher up. And he claims that that's to protect civilians, but I don't understand how you can trust people that are in war zones. When you're in a war zone, your humanity kind of dies. You don't care about civilians that much anymore. It needs to be someone who's chilling in fucking Washington, D.C. to be like, okay, I know things are fucked for you right now, but just don't grenade this house filled with kids. Because they still have their humanity. So he delegated all of that responsibility to people that were down below and claimed that this is to protect civilians, which I don't understand how that works. He ramped up soldiers, and he started fighting. He pushed back at these wars, which are now supposed to be like, okay, so for example, Afghanistan, this is the oldest, this is the longest running American war. I think it's now clear that you can't outright defeat them. So maybe come up with like a compromise. And he initially wasn't interested in that at all. And Trump, kind of to his credit, was interested in a compromise and like dealing with it diplomatically, which they're now doing.
So at the end of the day, good riddance to bad garbage. Trump knows better.
No, I'm not saying that.
You don't?
What I'm saying is
it sounds like he does.
What I'm saying is like Mattis isn't some angel, and just because like we all hate Trump doesn't mean that we forget that the rest of the administration are. Like, you know, Paul Ryan is worse than fucking Trump. Is something that, because like Trump is at least open about it to you. So his healthcare plan doesn't even, like, his fucking repeal and replace never worked out because he's kind of dumb and he doesn't know how to do it. And he says it like it is, you know. and all the eyes are on him. People like fucking Paul Ryan sneak that shit in.
Exactly. Like,
you don't
yeah.
even know that shit
and
happened.
They're effective and at it. You're so right. I'm sick of having this debate with people that watch nothing but the ABC News of how embarrassing is Donald Trump. I think what you're looking for is the word funny. And you don't know shit. And they seem to think that everybody else in Washington is respectable except for Trump. I mean, the exact opposite is the reality. Trump is one of the most respectable people in Washington. And it takes 30 or 40 minutes to explain that to them, and then they kind of sit there and they sort of get it, and then they go, but what about that tweet he said to Stormy Daniels? That's a bit much.
Yeah, and that creepy porn lawyer.
Mike Flappinardi.
Yeah. Creepy porn lawyer decides to run for
presidency. See, this is why Tucker Carlson can never get fired, and I've lost all faith in humanity that Bill O'Reilly was, but You know, I'm really advocating for a nuclear holocaust if Tucker ever loses his job. Calling Michael Abernathy onto his show while he's saying, you've been saying I'm a creepy porn lawyer all week, Tucker. I'm not calling you a creepy porn lawyer right now, says right at the bottom of the screen, creepy porn lawyer, is interviewed by Tucker Carlson.
So what, Tucker Carlson isn't getting fired now?
No, it was all storm in a teacup.
Oh, really?
Yes. Well, apparently, and this was all seeding into it, was that he was... To add urgency to the war, they're really building this narrative that there is this army of immigrants marching up from South America demanding residency in the US.
So this was when he was just saying, look at these refugees, they're dirty.
That was
and
it.
And then Alan Dershowitz, who's also like not a great man, says...
Yeah, Dershowitz.
Yeah. Says that
holding moral high ground. Yeah. The strongest defender of Israel on earth.
Yeah, I call that a stab in the back, is what I call it. Like, where all of a sudden he's like, actually, Tucker, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah. You're not on that train.
Yeah, you're not on that train.
I don't know if
train.
You're really
you look,
in
your
position.
Like,
you're,
aren't
you're,
the
you're,
guy?
You're a huge proponent of a nation that is nothing but walls. Yeah. Do they have any houses?
Exactly. And you are blocking legitimate refugees that were from that country. And also...
You're keeping refugees in. I suppose that's why.
Aren't you the guy that got off O.J. Simpson as well? Fuck you. You are taking the moral high ground. You piece of shit. Anyways.
I wonder if he thinks that he didn't do it. Or has he come out recently and said... No, he wouldn't have, because in his book... For anyone who doesn't know anything about Dershowitz... He once wrote in one of... And I think, to this day, the vast majority of Ivy League-trained lawyers have read Dershowitz's book, where he says in it, the person that you're defending is guilty of sin, it's your duty to defend him regardless and try every trick in the book to get him off. My suggestion is, don't even argue about the law.
In a law book.
So, as usual, when I find out that someone is like that much of a cunt, totally on board. I like Dershowitz more than Chomsky now, just from that one line.
Yeah, also, if for those of you interested, there's an epic battle on Israel between Chomsky and Dershowitz.
And to Dershowitz's credit, he's the only person that I've ever seen who's able to hold his ground against Chomsky.
No, I think he's the only person in the world who's been able to trigger Chomsky. If you remember that debate, Chomsky was pissed at the end of it, and he's never pissed.
That's so good. I'm sick of everyone saying that Ben Shapiro is the smartest Jew on the net. There should be... That... Okay, first of all, the titling of that debate is all wrong. It's just I don't know. It's something along the lines of, Cambridge University presents a measured debate on Israel and Palestine. It should be, Dershowitz totally triggers lefty cut Chomsky.
If that video was published today, that's what it would be called.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be. Just retitle it.
Yeah,
put a thumbnail pic of exactly what that title is, but in bold font words, and a picture of Dershowitz looking smug in a BMW.
Yeah, he is a smart cut. But, well, okay, so the point was, what's the fucking news? What's the big deal about the wall now? So the government is shutting down.
Yep.
Because...
I'm very proud of Trump for doing that, by the way. Purely the theatrics of it.
How?
I don't know anything about the logistics of shutting down the US government. I'm assuming that it's an easy procedure.
Yeah, I bet it's just like you go and you turn around from open to closed.
Yeah,
at the door.
It's a switch. So that's all that was. But God, that footage of him just bombshelling that on Nancy Pelosi in the middle of a meeting, just going like, you liking the biscuits? Yeah, you're not going to get your funding for the world, huh? Well, I'm going to shut down the government. Boom. And then on top of that, it's even better political strategy for them when they're just going, I don't think you want that on your hands. And he goes, you know what? Usually when there's a government shutdown, there's a lot of back and forth. I'll take the blame. I'll take it, Chuck. It's all my fault for shutting down the government because of the war.
But you know what? Okay, two things about it. For one, it's hilarious that in the Trump presidency, the president is the one who's really trying to shut down the government. In the Obama presidency, he was trying his best to make sure that the government... I remember, I think he was kind of teary at one point. He was like, we live in a country where we're not doing our job anymore. This is unacceptable. Whereas, like,
but that is Trump's job.
Yeah, Trump is like, holiday time, boys. Secondly, give him the fucking money for the wall. It's like, it was something that he truly did campaign on.
Mm.
Like, you've got to give someone credit. Like, and that's why, like, even Mattis is kind of a dickhead. Like, yeah, he wants to pull out of Syria and Afghanistan. With Afghanistan, I think it would be a horrible decision to completely pull out right now. However, both these things, the wall and ending the wars and bringing back the troops, is something that guy campaigned on a lot and won the elections.
Mm.
So, like... It's the same thing as, like, the British government going, like, nah, we ain't doing Brexit because, like, we don't want to. Like, it's a democratic country. You kind of have to, like, just, like, come up with a compromise. Maybe not the wall. Like, try to let him build a fence or some shit, you know?
Yeah, look, honestly, I don't understand. Well, because they're always saying that you said Mexico was going to build it. Everyone knew Mexico wasn't going to build the wall.
Yeah.
So just give him the tax money. But on top of that, Ann Coulter raises a really good point. She thinks, speaking of Ann, and this is why I'd fuck her, because she's saying that she thinks that Donald Trump doesn't want to build the wall because he could have easily done it in the first 2 years, at least started the construction of it. Second off, he could do it to this day because his job as commander-in-chief is to defend America. Well, your biggest threat isn't in Syria, it's on your border. Send down the military and get them to build a wall. They do it all the time during a flood. So
the military is now going to fucking construction go to, like, force. Yeah, Bunnings and fucking build, take all of the bricks. Dude, the wall is kind of dumb too. Like, it's like, no one's really saying that, yeah, wall is the need of the hour. This is ridiculous. I don't like this debate altogether. I know. Like, should we build this wall? Give me money to build this wall. And for what? Whatever. I don't even want to, like...
In conclusion... And I think you're right. I think you've come to... as usual, Ali, you've come to the measured response, which is, quote, whatever.
Yeah.
Does it really affect us if there's a wall in the US? It's kind of nice to see. The only reason I'm interested in the wall in the US is purely from the optics perspective, because I think that it's a very strong example in history of how metaphors are able to move a population into voting for someone. And that's all it is to him as well. It was always just a strong image that he's able to put into people.
Yeah, and what's... I was actually watching this documentary on Vox.
Good source.
Which is actually not bad now. For all those people that are listening to this, Vox is all right. I think they've got better...
No, they still have that annoying Spanish dude with the glasses. That actually just looks like a skinny version of you without a beard.
Yeah, well,
that guy sucks.
And what's the problem with that? So
he's always got
people.
The shittest points ever. It's always like... You know, now comedians are becoming a real political force. And the reason is... And then, like, does that annoying eye roll that Gen Y does. They're seriously fed up with bullshit. You work for Vox. Ooh. Like, are you really in the position to call out bullshit?
I don't watch this shit. I'm telling you, the ones that are... They're international politics... docos or whatever the hell they're called, videos, they're all right. Like, okay, so for instance, like, you know how Trump's building this wall and shit, but I was watching this Vox thing, and people in Colombia are champions because they're getting most of the Venezuelan refugees are going to Colombia, and they're just like opening their doors.
Why do you think that is? Because my theory is that if your country's already shit, you're just going to let other people come in from other shitty countries. But if you're rich, you're not. It's like when you're a wealthy businessman and you walk past a homeless guy and he goes, "Can I have a quarter?" And it's like, "How about you get a job, you bum?" But I bet you when he goes back to his bum town, there's some other guy there that's like going, "I got myself a sandwich. You want half of the chicken sandwich, Goonie?"
It's you know what it is? You're mean.
Is that what it is? No, I really can't argue with that. I think that's than fair to say.
But no, I guess I kind of agree with you, but I look at it in a different way. Sometimes you find the most generosity amongst people that don't have any money. They're not attached to material beings the same way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So it's I don't know. You know, like
what?
Like Louis C.K. was doing this bit about how he went to Trump casinos, and there would be these fucking buses full of 70-year-old women from fucking Kentucky who've come all the way to the fucking Trump casino, and they have maybe $50 in their bank account.
Yeah.
And they're giving all of that money to fucking Trump. And Louis C.K. was saying how he saw Trump in an elevator, and Trump was just looking just sad. Because Louis C.K. was saying in his head, he was just like, "I need more money. $5 billion is not enough money." So the money was actually making him sad, and like he was comparing him to these women that were coming from Kentucky with zero money, and they were basically just saying, "Oh, you look sad. Here, you can have more of my money." It's the same thing about like Colombia and America. Like the Colombia is like the woman from Kentucky. Yeah, sure, she is poor, but she's still more generous. Sure, the country is shitter, but I don't think that's the reason why they're letting them in.
What are they letting me in for?
Them in because they're not horrible human beings. They care about... And also, Colombia and Venezuela, back in the day, used to be one country. So there's some level of camaraderie as well.
Have they got a rivalry going on?
I don't know about the... Because when Colombia used to have these horrible... a gang violence shit, there would be refugees that would go from Colombia to Venezuela, and Venezuelans would accept them as well. So now they're sort of it's payback time. But I think what it is,
New Zealand did never do that for us.
Well, they kind of do.
Do they?
Don't like, so if a New Zealander comes here, they don't get like fucking social service.
No, they get it straight away.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do.
What do they not get? What are they always complaining about? There's something they don't get.
Citizenship, maybe?
Of course, but they'll get that eventually.
I don't know what they complain about. They just complain about everything. Every Kiwi I've ever met is extremely negative about life. It's like, dude, you live in the Lord of the Rings. I don't understand how you... And also, on top of that, Saruman's been defeated. It's just the Shire. But your entire existence, and you're still pissed and whiny. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not even a thing about wealth. Because New Zealand in general, I suppose they're sort of wealthy, but every movie that you ever see about their places is always just like some hut-looking house where you're like, that's okay, I'd rather live in Newtown. And I really don't want to live in Newtown.
Dude, I don't want to fucking live in Newtown. Newtown, you know what? You always used to say Newtown is shit, and I would always say, nah, you're just jealous of all of the dynamism that is in Newtown. But after like running a restaurant here for a year and like realizing what Newtown is, it's a shithole.
Yeah.
It's not a good place. Anyway,
I think you're right then. It doesn't even have anything to do with money. It's just some people are nice and some people aren't. And it seems like Colombians are nice.
You can't really force someone to be nice, you know. So that's why I say if you want to build a fucking wall, build that wall. Oh, actually, as Trump would say, don't say build that wall. Say, keep building that wall, Mr. President.
Is he?
Yeah.
You know what else he's getting? He's running all these ads that are just going, President Donald Trump has been working tirelessly for the last 2 years. Now he's asking for your help. Call up 1-800-TRUMP now and leave a personal thank you message to the president.
Yeah, and Trump's getting citizens check that
to boost
out.
His ego.
Well,
I gotta say, look, it's been fun.
It's been
I'm
fun.
So glad that Trump won the last election. I'm hoping Bernie wins the next one, but still, if Trump wins a second presidency, it's a good way to go out.
We've talked up Trump too much now. There's something that no one's talking about that I need to address as well about Trump. And that's the last bit. Trump's economy.
Oh. So I heard that recently his huge through line throughout the... whatever you may call it, the midterms. Apparently that's all imploded straight after the midterms.
Wait, what's imploding?
Apparently, like, the growth forecast is bad, and how he's always going, look at how good the stock market's going, and then it just crashed on Boxing Day.
No, look, those are small variables. The fact of the matter is that the dollar is stronger than it probably ever was. The stock market, you know...
is meaningless.
U.S. stocks are close to 35% of world stocks at the moment.
Right.
That's quite a bit. That's intense.
Right.
It's their GDP is at an all-time high. Any like if you get like an economics student and just be like, check out the U.S. economy right now. They will tell you only good things.
Right.
And you're like, it's kind of mad. However, most of this is because of Trump's tax plan, which was just to cut corporate taxes. Now, the problem is, the reason why you cut corporate taxes is to increase investment. So if corporations or big companies save more money, they invest more into their business. That creates more jobs, growth, blah, 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 blah. That's the toll line. However, the fact that the U.S. stock market is at an all-time high explains where that investment is going. It's all going into the stocks, which, as we remember from 2008, can lose value at any time.
Mm.
What doesn't lose value is industrial investment, long-term investments into skills, setting up plants, things that are tangible, you know? So even if eventually there is a crisis, you could sort of rewire those things into producing something else that might be useful. The base of that investment always stays, and providing skills to people will always benefit you. What doesn't benefit is like if all of a sudden fucking supercomputer chip companies have had all huge investments and their stocks have quadrupled in a matter of a few months. So
showy.
It's
I love how the showiness of Trump seeds into every part of his presidency.
They did a study.
It's about the wall, the economy. Those are the only two bits. But
they did a study in which they looked at the growth of U.S., looked at what's causing the growth and where that growth is going. Anyways, it was a long study, but the crux of that study was that only 0.8% of the growth is sustainable growth.
How does that work?
So basically most of the money that is being generated, because after the tax cut, the GDP, like the growth rate went up, right?
Mm.
In fact, it went, I remember when Trump's economic team's credit, I remember when he introduced the tax plan, people like Joseph Stiglitz were coming on Democracy Now! And were just like, these numbers are ridiculous. 3% growth rate is frankly stupid. Well, it's close to that, actually.
but they were saying that it was impossible to achieve, not that yeah, you shouldn't achieve it.
Yeah, they were saying it was impossible to achieve. But he didn't like actually meet all those targets, but the growth went up quite a bit.
Mm.
And that was because of the tax cut. But all of that growth went into sectors that are not sustainable.
Mm.
So they could crash at any point. So eventually, in fact, now economists are saying, economists always say shit, but like here's another shit thing that they're saying, which may be true, which may not be true, that now the U.S. economy is on a downward spiral again. So the benefits of the tax cut have been reaped, and now it's going to go down. Basically, their mining boom has ended. So which
that was pretty short, wasn't it? When was the tax cuts?
a year ago.
Yeah, and that money, well, it'll take another year or something for it to go down. But and that money that they've lost from the tax cuts isn't coming back. The investment that that led to went into unsustainable areas. What they are left with is 0.8% growth after you take off all of the wealth that's going to be lost from these stocks, which is lower than Obama years without the tax cut.
Deeply troubling indeed.
Why do I sense sarcasm? That is troubling, man.
It is troubling for them.
It's the economy, stupid.
But it is... I really don't see what the difference is between Trump's plan and Reagan's plan. It's the same thing that happens every time. It's the exact same plan.
I don't understand
how people keep falling for it.
They would argue that even our left-wing plans are the exact same plan. So they talk about it.
Like, but the left-wing plan, what is the left-wing plan? Because at the moment I'm doing a video on infrastructure for what's the difference.
That's the left-wing plan.
And it's great. Government infrastructure. That's what's kept Australia's economy afloat ever since the global financial crisis. I didn't know about this, but pretty much the only reason that Australia has continued to stay in growth, despite the Liberals always going that small business is the backbone of the economy. Yeah, I'm sure Karachi, I mean, it makes nice curries, but I don't think it's keeping, like, Australia afloat.
Hey,
particularly
when
I look there and then, like, you've just got, like, a little koala next to the door service bell just being, please ring at any time. I think there needs to be a little more of a comprehensive economic
structure. I'm not on that train. I don't agree with that.
Because as soon as you become a small business owner...
Karachi is
the backbone.
Karachi is what's keeping... Dude, it's not keeping the country afloat. It's not even keeping our family afloat. Don't worry about it.
But like, yeah, that's always their argument. So they're always giving tax cuts, saying, "We're giving tax cuts to small business," and then they do exactly that. That it's the same thing over and over again across the world. Neoliberals always give out tax cuts. They do nothing. All the economic data has shown that the only thing that is keeping jobs and growth functioning is the fact that the Labor Party invested a huge amount of money into infrastructure projects during the global financial crisis. And those projects are getting finished now. But what the Liberals have done instead is just go, oh, yeah, okay, well, instead, well, we're still building infrastructure, don't worry about that. But instead of building things that the nation can actually use, like broadband and high-speed rail and rail lines from Sydney to Melbourne, you don't need a rail line from Brisbane to Melbourne. How could that possibly get you any economic growth? What you need is another highway right next to the highway in Melbourne. Is it going to cut traffic at all? Slightly, for maybe 5 years, maybe.
Yeah, and you have to pay $20 every time you go on that highway.
Yeah. And does the government get the money? No.
That's not how it works.
So yeah. What, you're essentially saying you're going to build a highway for your donors at twice the amount of money that it costs to build a wall across the border of Mexico and the US?
And then they own the road? You don't even own it? What's the point
of it? I don't think you understand how the economy works.
Yeah.
You know, that's their argument.
And you know what the worst part about that is? And not only do they do that, but they make sure that there's further tax cuts so that if the Labor Party or any left-wing party comes into power, are not able to spend money on infrastructure because all of that money is now going to the fucking bankers. So it's just... Yeah.
And then they complain when you get out a loan to pay for infrastructure that is clearly... This is the point, right? The other thing is that the Liberal Party is constantly going, yeah, but watch the return on the infrastructure, and then they'll get all these estimates, and then they'll say, okay, so the return on investment for this infrastructure project instantly, not even talking about the economic benefits of it in the general economy, just straight back to you, the government, 7%. Oh, 7%? I was hoping for 15%. Project not approved. And they won't approve the project.
And they're so short-sighted that they don't understand that that some of these investments, you don't even know how they're going to benefit you. And they'll benefit you after a really long time as well. Like, most, like Apple, for instance, is making a killing, but the fucking public grant in MIT in the 80s that formed that chip that is now crucial to an iPhone... Imagine if, like, they were asking, what's the return on that? They couldn't have predicted, Actually, 5,000,000%. By the way, none of that 5,000,000% goes to the people that had funded that public grant in the first place.
It's always the same. It's just, I really don't understand their idea of economics. I don't understand how you could honestly think that. And it leads me to the conclusion that they don't. That they know that it's bad economics, and they do it anyway because that's what their donors want.
Nah, they think it's good economics.
Yeah?
Because they believe in it like a religion.
Right, okay.
So they don't understand... Like, they don't look at... Because it's economic. Economics is not physics. It can change. There's so many variables. No one can tell you 100% that this is going to work. Mm. And because, like...
But we know after maybe 2,000 years of trial and error since the Roman Empire that infrastructure works.
Yeah, no, but that there's some things that will... Look, economics and by the discipline itself is not useless, but it's been like what's happened is that in order to make themselves more credible from other social sciences like sociology or some shit, they've included like a lot of math in it to get more funding from universities and academia, and which has essentially turned it into a religion. So that those fucking mathematical formulas are often faulty. They miss incredible amounts of variables that could cause their solution to be different, but they choose to ignore it on purpose because then the religion doesn't work.
Mm.
However, certain things like public investment is, in most cases, it can reap benefits, but even that you're not sure of. So, for example, like Hitler's investment on bridge infrastructures in 1940 wasn't a good idea because they got bombed in 2 years.
Right.
So even that has variables that it may make it not feasible.
But as the Labour Party's always pointing out, it wasn't a complete waste because those bridges in 1940s created jobs.
Yeah, true. And then like they and the people that had those jobs paid taxes, and those taxes went to the bullets that were being used in Stalingrad.
Well, have a happy new year. I hope that you've found this as informative as we have. What did we learn today?
Before we
would we fuck Ann Coulter? Yes. Is Trump's